Welcome to East Texas News Roundup for the week ending March the 1st, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties, covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers including Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties by the editors of those five newspapers. Tyler County Booster editor Chris Edwards kicks off this week's podcast.
Howdy, everybody. Chris Edwards here, just taking a few minutes to bring everybody the news and events from Tyler County in a rounded-up fashion, or at least hitting the highlights that are taken from this week's edition of the Tyler County Booster. To start things off with, once again, for like the third week in a row here, the big story to report is about the Woodville Lady Eagles. They are still in it, and the next step, of course, in their bid for a 3A state championship is the state semifinals. So this Thursday, they're going to be taking on the Poth Pirates in San Antonio, playing at the famous Alamo Dome. And if they win that game, then it's on to the final round. Yeah, we might have a state championship team in our county. Now, this past week, they took on both the Keene and Franklin and won both of those games in the regional tournament. So, way to go, Lady Eagles. I know Coach Carroll is pleased as punch, proud as can be, and is looking toward the next rung on this ladder to the championship. So, if you're in Tyler County, be sure to pick up the Tyler County Booster this week, and that's the big lead story, and a lot of great photos from our Woodville sports reporter, Hale Hughes. He's a great photographer as well, and good coverage of both of those games. So, there's that. Now, moving on to other happenings in our eastern part of the woods here. Any Woodville residents within the city block or so, or well, if you're anywhere near the courthouse or downtown on Monday morning, you might have heard some rumblings of something that pretty much shut down the area for a good little while. What happened was a police pursuit ended here in Woodville, right outside the courthouse, actually. Well, I don't have all the details yet, but a woman named Sue Muse was being chased by the Alabama Coushatta Tribal Police from right there at the reservation up 190 here into Woodville, where the sheriff's department here deployed tire spikes. And she hit the spikes right as she crossed right there in front of the courthouse and came to a pretty abrupt stop. And it was a pretty big event that you don't see every day here in Woodville. There were pretty much every law enforcement agency was represented, and all of your cops and sheriff's department deputies and constables and so forth. They were all in that one scene. And Miss Muse was transported to Polk County Jail, and she's being held on a $5,000 bond with the charge of evading arrest or detention with a motor vehicle. So if anybody was wondering about that particular scenario, if they might have had to wait there at the crossing light a little bit longer than usual and saw police officers directing traffic, that's what happened. Just thought I would make you guys aware of that, since things of that magnitude don't happen here every day. All right, now, another event that's about to come upon us this weekend. Well, Saturday, actually, is Texas Independence Day. And if you spend any length of time in Tyler County, you know that the big event to celebrate Texas Independence Day is out at Heritage Village. Every year they do the Toast to Texas, and this year is no different. It starts at 1 o'clock, and the actual toast is at 2 o'clock. There's a little story behind that I'll get to here in a second. But this year, like every other year, they're going to do a black powder gun salute. And there's going to be live music by way of the Southeast Texas Dulcimer Friends group. And there's going to be other things, like local dignitaries are going to speak. And our neighbor here at the booster office, Fred Sullivan, who owns Sullivan's Hardware, which is two doors down from us, actually, he will be the MC this year. And Afira Gasway out at the village, the director of the village, she told me that in all the years that Fred's been involved with the event and been a board member of the Heritage Society, this will be the first year that he'll be speaking at one of these. So if you have a mind to check it out, Saturday at Heritage Village is where it's going to be for Texas Independence Day celebrations. And the toast itself, what they do every year is you get a cup full of Texas spring water that's locally sourced. And at 2 o'clock, a toast is made to the great state of Texas. Now, the way this started out is the celebration is held to coincide the exact time and date from 1836 when the original Declaration of Independence from Mexico was signed. Now, For those Texas history scholars, you might remember that Texas, when it declared its independence from Mexico, was an independent nation, sovereign nation, for about 10 years before joining the Union. And a group of Texians gathered at Washington on the Brazos, and they signed it. And it was some years much later that the magazine Texas Highways suggested that one way to celebrate Texas Independence Day would be to stop whatever you're doing at 2 p.m. on March the 2nd and make a toast to Texas. So Heritage Village adopted that protocol, and it's been a big thing here ever since. I remember in the early 90s going to some of those, and I remember that when Jack Whitmire, who was a local historian, storyteller, and did a lot of things, I think he was a retired electrician and kind of helped get the Heritage Village started up with Clyde Gray back in the 70s, they used to do the toast with water that he had gotten from spring on his place there. So yeah, still doing the toast of Texas out of Heritage Village. So those are a few things that have gone on or about to happen here in Tyler County. One thing I want to close out with to make note of is, even though we're almost out of February right now, it's just a couple more days to go. February was Heart Health Month. You know, every month has its own kind of awareness to certain health condition. You know, you've got October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, of course. Well, February is Heart Health Awareness Month, and the American Heart Association, they have a big part to play in having that month, February, be denoted as such. And basically, it's a way to kind of get the public to adapt healthier habits into their diets and lifestyles, and also to encourage doctors and nurses to be leaders in the community on this topic. Now, the Tyler County Commissioners Court, they met Monday morning, and they passed a resolution to denote February as Heart Health Month in Tyler County. And on hand were some people from the hospital. And anyways, the resolution, as it was worded, was quite long, but had a lot of good information in it about heart healthy habits. And I've got a few here that I want to share with y'all. These are taken from the harvard.edu website, and just kind of go down the list here. These are five white knights, the article calls them, to protect your heart, your arteries, and the rest of you. They will make you look better and feel better. And remember, folks, it's never too late to start these things. Never too late to start a good habit. And it could add years to your life. So the first one is to avoid tobacco. You know, you typically think of tobacco smoke, smoking cigarettes or cigars or, you know, dipping snuff, whatever, is something that's really detrimental to your lungs or your gums in the case of chewing tobacco or dip or so forth. But it's also really bad for your heart and your arteries, just as much, if not more so, than it is for your lungs. And the article says, if you smoke, quitting is the biggest gift of health that you can give yourself. Secondhand smoke is also toxic, so avoid it whenever possible. Number two on this list is reminding us to be active. Exercise and physical activity are about the closest things you have to magic bullets against heart disease and other chronic conditions. Any amount of activity is better than none. At least 30 minutes a day is the best. Number three, aim for a healthy weight. Carrying extra pounds, especially around the belly, strains the heart and tips you toward diabetes. If you are overweight, losing just 5 to 10% of your starting weight can make a big difference in your blood pressure and your blood sugar. Number four, enliven your diet. Add fruits and vegetables, whole grains, unsaturated fat, good protein, like those from beans, nuts, fish, and poultry, as well as herbs and spices. Also, subtract processed foods, salt, rapidly digested carbohydrates, like those you get from white bread, white rice, potatoes, and the like, as well as red meat and soda or other sugar-sweetened beverages. I remember my granddad used to say all the time that he used to call processed sugar white poison. So, you know, you typically want to avoid things with a lot of added sugar to them. One, and the last but not least is drink alcohol in moderation if you drink at all. You know, it's a good thing to have a glass or two of wine a day or a beer or two. Beer and wine both have positive effects on blood flow and on the heart. But it's like with anything else, you know, you can have too much of a good thing, and you need to limit your intake if you do drink. 1 to 2 drinks a day at most. Well, actually, this says 1 to 2 drinks a day for men and no more than 1 a day for women. Those are 5 things I hope that you can take with you and may apply to your own life if you're not already applying them, and maybe stick around for a little longer. So with all that in mind, I bid you all farewell for this week on the East Texas News Roundup. And as always, I hope everybody has a great and fun weekend and a safe one at that. And be good to yourselves and to one another. Take care.
Howdy folks, Megan Whitworth here with your updates on Houston County. We're just gonna dive in. Are you ready? We'll start with a visit from Congressman Kevin Brady last week. Mr. Brady had an industrial tour through Houston and Trinity counties on Thursday, February 21st. First, he stopped at Eastern Shore Forest Products, which is a wood shavings plant that began production in Crockett early last October. He also toured Gravelands area's new Darlene Ingredients, which is a sustainable food, feed, and full ingredients production facility that officially began operations last December. And he also visited the Trinity Steel Fabricators plant in Trinity. Brady talked with different leaders and learned about why they settled here and what they're doing here. It's a really interesting, fascinating read from reporter Alton Porter. You definitely have to read all about it. It begins on page 1A, and Mr. Brady is definitely taking a tour through East Texas. And he updated his Twitter feed with what he was going on that day, and he gave a shout out to Houston County Courier, and that was always nice to read. So thanks for Mr. Kevin Brady for coming out to East Texas and to learn more about what the plant here in Houston County and Trinity counties are doing to help the area with jobs and our economy and how they're supplying a need for a demand in their products. So you don't want to miss out on that article. So also in the news are the upcoming May elections. There are a lot of local elections that will be held in the spring here in Houston County. Political season, it's either a love or hate thing, and especially in the newspaper world, you just gotta love it. In this issue, we're talking about the Houston County Hospital Board elections. All five places on the Hospital Board of Directors will definitely be a hotly contested. Directors that are elected in the positions do serve a 2-year terms. Here is a look at who is running. First, seeking re-election to the Place 1 director position is Board Secretary Barbara Croson. She is a retired school teacher. Her opponent is Cody Willer, a former board member, and recently appointed to fill the Place 3 position that was vacated by Kathy Culvert and Tommy Driscoll is Realtor Pat Dickey, who is asking voters to reseat her. Opposing her is Houston County Sheriff's Office Deputy Billy Christian. Then Dr. Robert Greer, who is a retired biochemical geneticist, has been on the board 4 years and its president. He is running for re-election to the board's Place 5 position. Running against him is retired Houston County Judge Aaron Ford. That will definitely be a tight race. Then we have Larry Robbins. He is an insurance agent, entrepreneur, and self-employed businessman. He is in the Place 7 incumbent and is asking voters to allow him to hold onto his seat. His opponent is Harvey Bruner, an alder person on the Latexo City Council, and he's also a Latexo businessman. Then lastly, we have Carol Story Dawson, who was a founding board member of the Jordan School in Crockett and is associated with the C.O. Murray Community Clinic in Crockett and currently holds Place 9 on the board. She is seeking re-election. Her opponent is Roy Langford, a former East Texas Medical Center Emergency Medical Services Regional Director and Division Chief. So you don't want to miss out reading more about the candidates and the coverage of the latest hospital district's recent meeting. And really, when it comes to these elections, people always talk about change and how they want to make a difference, and they talk about national news. But really, it comes to these local elections. Who are the people in your city council? Who are the people on your hospital boards and in your school districts? Those are the people where you can make a difference. So you definitely want to know who these candidates are, not only in the hospital board, but in the city council elections and the school board elections. So definitely make sure you read in the Courier for the latest updates on who's running, just basically who, what, when, and where, and why. With the hospital board elections in this issue, it starts on page 1A, and just make sure to keep watch. You definitely need to know who's running and why they're running and why you should vote for who. One of the biggest talks around town is the nearly $2 million at stake local school districts. So the Texas Comptroller's Property Tax Assistant Division, also known as the PTAD, found 184 school districts that did not meet its criteria for the 2018 property value study. The preliminary findings were released late last month. And then that includes four of the five school districts here in Houston County. That's Crockett ISD, Kennard ISD, Latexo ISD, and Grapeland ISD. They were all assigned a state value, which is significantly greater than the local tax roll value. Crockett ISD has $790,000 at stake. Kennard, Grapeland, and Latexo stand to lose $334,000, $510,000, and $265,000, respectively. These school districts will be further penalized by having to pay an agent a 10% contingency of the amounts recovered from these funds. Lovelady ISD, the fifth school district here in Houston County, has invalid findings, but they are considered to be in year one of a grace period. It will not have school fundings at stake. So the four school districts in trouble will be filing appeals with the PTAD in hopes of lowering the state's estimate of property wealth. The appeals are due on March 12th. So we will definitely keep readers updated on the latest with those findings, because that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's a big deal for small East Texas school districts. So city residents, if you are contacted by the appraisal district or its representative, they will let you know what information they are requesting and what it will be used for. So just make sure to keep watch on the latest for those updates. So in other news in the Courier this week, it includes coverage on the latest Houston County Commissioners Court meeting. Crockett ISD trustees highlighted dozens of UIL students on their last board meeting, plus more. You don't want to miss out on reading the light on this latest edition. And also, make sure to check out our sports section in this latest issue. Teams across Houston County are really going big this year in basketball. They say, go big or go home, and our kids are definitely going big this year. And I'm not a huge sports talker, so it is my weakness in reporting, so I won't embarrass myself. So just make sure to check it out. We're always updating our Facebook page with scores and totals from the latest games, so don't miss that out. Alrighty, folks, there is a lot going on with events, festivities, and crazy news stories you don't want to miss out. As always, make sure to stay updated with our Facebook page at HC Courier and our website at hccourier.com. We always have something going on, and so that we're always posting something. So, listeners, readers, whoever out there, I'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.
Over here in Trinity County, we had a visit from State Representative Kevin Brady. Last Thursday, he visited the south plant of Trinity Steel Fabricators and talked about the steel industry in America and the challenges they face from outside competitors, China, Canada, and Mexico. We also have a feature on the Trinity Girls Powerlifting Team, who qualified seven people for this Saturday's region lifting event. And whoever hits a certain amount of weight will go to the state meet March 16th in Waco. And local pastor Roger Goines of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God Church just celebrated his 35th year anniversary at the church. We also have a photo on the Trinity Tigerettes dance team, who won the best in class in their region dance competition in Frisco. More on that will come in following editions. And in the world of sports, the Groveton and Trinity boys basketball teams were both eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. Groveton in the 2A state playoffs lost 71-50 to Kearns, and Trinity in the 3A playoffs lost a heartbreaker to Van Vleck 75-72. Also in Groveton, offensive lineman Blake Hollis signed with Mary Harden Baylor to play football. He's an offensive lineman, and he will continue to be an offensive lineman. And Mary Harden Baylor has a three-year record of 44-1 with two national championships under their belt. Their only loss was in the last 3 years was a 12-0 loss in the national championship game in 2017. They went 15-0 both 2016 and 2018. So Blake is coming over there to try to help them continue this streak of going to the national championship game. And that's it from Trinity County.
Well, hello there, residents of San Jacinto County. This is Jacob McAdams, the editor of the San Jacinto News-Times. And today is February 27th. And I'm going to give you all a little bit of a wrap-up of our most recent news. So last week, we had some really big events going on, and I will go through three of them. One of them is actually 2 weeks old, but we got the press release last week, but I'll get to that in a minute. But the first thing I'll talk to you about is we had the Battle of the FFAs. And if you're wondering what that is, it's a food drive that's done by the San Jacinto County Texas Farm Bureau Insurance Group. They're located here in Cold Spring. And every year for FFA week, they hold a food drive. And both the Cold Spring Oakhurst High School FFA and the Shepherd High School FFA, they compete to see who can bring in the most canned goods and non-perishable foods for the contest. And the winner, whoever brings in the most in terms of weight by pounds, gets a pizza party sponsored by the San Jacinto County Farm Bureau Group. Now, last year, Cold Spring FFA won, but this year, Shepherd FFA won. And here's the totals, and this is some pretty big numbers. So Cold Spring brought in 910 pounds of food. That's a pretty big number by itself, but it gets even crazier because Shepherd brought in 2,172 pounds, and combined, this comes out to a whopping 3,082 pounds of food. So they brought in a ton and a half of food for this food drive. Now, the food itself is set to be distributed between our Cold Spring and Shepherd Senior Centers. And then each senior center will also receive a check for $250 from the San Jacinto County Texas Farm Bureau Group. So congratulations to our kids from both the Shepherd FFA and the Cold Spring FFA. They did a good job. This is probably one of their largest, if not the largest, food drive that they have done for the Battle of the FFAs. They've done it for a few years now. So next is we do have a press release from the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office. And this comes from arrests that were made on February 15th. And some investigators with the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office, specifically in the Criminal Investigations Division, they executed search and arrest warrants at two different businesses within San Jacinto County. These are based on undercover operations, and it resulted in the purchase and delivery of drug paraphernalia to undercover investigators. One of these was delivery to a juvenile. Now, the first business that was searched was the Point Blank Food Mart Exxon Station that is located at the 10,000 block of Highway 190. Some contraband was seized, and the owner, I'm probably going to butcher this name, but his name is Kaisar Akil Ranja. He's 35 years old. He has been arrested, and he is charged with delivery of drug paraphernalia to a person under 18 years of age. And that is a state jail felony. The second location that was searched was Baba's Mini Mart, which is located in the 5,000 block off of Highway 59. If you don't know where this one's at, it's across the street from McLean's Food Mart there in Shepherd. According to the press release, contraband has been seized, and the investigation is still ongoing. More information on this particular arrest will be released at a later time, and there are still operations into reported illegal activity going on in San Jacinto County. So anyone that would like to contribute, the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office welcomes any tips and information on any person who chooses to commit illegal activity in the community. So, you know, don't be afraid to give our local law enforcement a call to report sort of behavior. And our biggest event, of course, for last week is the Best of San Jacinto County Awards. Now, this is an event put on by the San Jacinto County Cold Spring Chamber of Commerce. It is a celebration of the best in 40 different categories for San Jacinto County. And the categories are pretty broad. You have best restaurant, best florist, best caterer, best peace officer, best citizen, and just anything you could think of. Odds are there's going to be a best for it. And I'm happy to report that here at the San Jacinto News-Times, we won the award for best newspaper for 2018. And we thank everyone who voted for us on that. It is an honor to be able to deliver the news to the residents here in San Jacinto County. some of the winners tend to be repeats. There are the occasional change-ups in the awards. First, we have for Best Restaurant, which this is usually the first award that's announced. I thought I would go ahead and throw it out there. We got the Mason Jar. I believe they won it last year as well. And they're a restaurant located here in Cold Spring on the San Jacinto County Courthouse Square. They did introduce a new category called Best Entertainer. And the winner for this is the Cold Spring Oakhurst High School Trojanettes Drill Team. A couple of the new winners that we got. One of them is Best Florist, which is Cara's Signature Floral. And she is located out in Point Blank, from what I understand. If you want to look it up, Cara is spelled C-A-R-R-A, and then it's Signature Floral. Best Caterer for the event was another new one, is A Taste Above Catering. Taste Above Catering is also, they were the caterer for the Best of San Jacinto County Banquet that was held this past Saturday on February 23rd. They got their recognition there as well. And the last two awards are probably some of the best because they reflect on individuals within our county. And one of them is the Best Volunteer of the Year. And they had three nominees. All the awards typically have three nominees because you could vote for virtually anyone in any category. But for the Best Volunteer of the Year, we had the winner is Barbara S. Justice. And Barbara is described as a woman who has spent her life following in her mother's path of serving others. You'll see her around Cold Spring volunteering for the chamber as the chairperson for membership. She has worked with the Polk County Chamber of Commerce and in other areas as well. She's worked with the Cold Spring Area Business Merchants Association here in town. And she's also the Democratic election judge for Precinct 4. She shares her time volunteering at Christmas on the Square, the San Jacinto County Fair and Rodeo Parade, and the Juneteenth Parade. Along with other events include Point Blank's Pink Day, the new event that we have going on called Cars Coffee and Donuts on the Square, and a number of others. She also volunteers by registering people to vote, and she does participate in trash pickup days around the county. So congratulations to Barbara S. Justice. Now, there is another category that does celebrate individuals, and that is Citizen of the Year. And the winner of this is Julie O'Day. And Julie O'Day, she is a longtime member of the Cold Spring community, and she happens to be the owner of the salon called Cuttin' Up, which she opened in 2009. So she's been serving haircuts for about 10 years now. She gives free haircuts to ROTC members, and she often gives free haircuts to anyone who comes to her that's in need and can't afford a haircut for job interviews, funerals, and other needs that they might have. And she lives by the words, "I give to everyone what I have to give." So congratulations to our winners here. And if you did not win, if you were nominated for these events, we extend our congratulations to you as well. You will be able to see the rest of the winners and the rest of the categories in our upcoming edition of the paper. That edition will be the one that will have come out on February 28th. So at the very end of this month, it will be the most recent paper by the time you hear this podcast as it airs. So keep a lookout for that. You can also contact the chamber to find out more information about the other winners and the other nominees. Now, if you're interested in participating in this, in the next Best of San Jacinto County, which will take place next year and it will reflect the year of 2019, usually it's going to be close to the end of the year that the chamber will send out ballots. They'll send them out to their local businesses and organizations, and you can find them. You take the ballot. The ballot will have all the categories, which, like I said, this year there are 40. And now the president of the chamber, Brandon Wygent, had told me they're probably going to consolidate some of the categories. But regardless, all the categories will be on there. And I don't know how many will be on the upcoming one, but the most recent one was, of course, 40 categories. And they will have all those categories, and you simply write in the person, the organization, the business, whatever the category is. You simply write in the one person who identifies with that category that is part of San Jacinto County that you believe best represents it. So if it's Best Restaurant, you can write in the Mason Jar. You can write in El Taquito of Cold Spring or El Taquito of Shepherd. You can write in The Hop. You can write in Subway of Cold Spring. You know, it's just whichever business or organization or person you feel best fits. Only limitation is that it has to fit that category and they have to be within San Jacinto County. That's it. And you can drop them off at the chamber office here on Slade Street in Cold Spring. So upcoming events, you should know that we still have some teams that are in the playoffs for basketball. We have Cold Spring. The Trojans are still playing. I believe the Shepherd Boys are still playing as well, the Pirates, but I do not know for sure yet. But regardless, give a shout out to these teams, and we hope to see y'all again here real soon. Y'all have a good day.